Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, and we'll read through the fifth verse of chapter 2. Hear God's word. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things, without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man, so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, your word is good. It is altogether good because you are the good God and you have been pleased to give this good word to us through the inspiration of your Spirit. We thank you that you used human instruments. We thank you that you used human instruments like the prophet Habakkuk. And as we take time once again this morning to look into your word through this prophet, we pray that you'd enlighten our minds, give us good understanding, and help us to understand the truth, Father, that we do not find true justice and full justice in this world, in this life, but that justice, perfect justice, can only come from above. It only comes from you. It only comes from you through Jesus Christ, your Son. So help us grasp this, Father, and help us in our understanding of our lives in this world, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. In order to play basketball, you have to have a court with boundary lines. And of course, you have to have those hoops at either end. And two teams that play that are in opposition to one another. But you also have to have rules for the game. And you have to have referees to enforce the rules. At least that's what they're supposed to do. You do chuckle at that because
Now, oftentimes, you're ready to throw a shoe at the television set because you don't like the call that was made. All right, why do you do that? Because you are indignant that justice is not shown on the basketball court. And it's only natural that you should do this, because the human soul longs for justice. And those referees mostly try to do a good job on the basketball court, but they do not succeed, because there is not perfect justice in this world. And they are not omniscient, and so they can't see every angle of a play, and therefore make the call, perhaps as you've seen it, from your vantage point. And so, you call for justice, and often the crowd will boo. But this is another indication, is it not, that true justice is not found in this life. It comes from above. And we all have to recognize that this is the case. You will not find true justice in this life. You will only find it in God through Jesus Christ. And if you seek justice in this life alone, you will die. But if you seek the God of justice through Christ, you will live. And this is the lesson that comes to us from Habakkuk today, that you do not see true justice in the world, and if you seek justice in this world alone, you will die. But if you seek the God of justice in Jesus Christ, you will live. Let's review where we've been with Habakkuk. Habakkuk has been lamenting the situation in Judea, the sins of the people. And as he laments the sins of the people in Judea, God says to Habakkuk, he's going to send the Babylonians as his instrument of justice. Let's read the first part of chapter 1. The oracle of Habakkuk, the prophet. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out perverted. Here is Habakkuk's lament as he looks at his own culture and looks at his own society. And as you recall, we may look at our culture and our society in a similar way. Then God answers, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march through the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originates with themselves. You see, here's the note of justice again. And Habakkuk is objecting in our text this morning that these Chaldeans are now being sent against the Judean populace as the hand of God's justice. And do they know anything about justice? Their justice and authority originates with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horses come galloping. Their horses come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their hordes of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. This is Habakkuk's first complaint or first lament and God's first response. The Chaldeans are going to be sent. Now, when you look at Habakkuk and read his little book, I think you discover that Habakkuk is no dummy. He's a man of faith. He does understand God. And he relates this understanding of God. Look at verse 12, the beginning of our text this morning. Note Habakkuk's faith. You are from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One. You are the everlasting God. You are the one who knows the end from the beginning. You are omniscient and omnipotent. You are the great God of all, and you are my God. You see Habakkuk's faith here. My Holy One. Habakkuk recognizes the Lord above as the great God who is separate from all evil. He is the Holy One of all. And then also, at verse 1 in chapter 2, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Habakkuk knows that he's but a creature, and that if he dares to lift his voice up against God and to question God, that he is subject to reproof from God. He understands his station in life. And he knows that God himself is his only hope. He's like many of us who are here today. You understand, and I hope you do at least, that God through Jesus Christ is your only hope, and that you're but a creature, and God is the Creator. And you are not to worship yourself, the creature rather than the Creator. You are to worship the Holy God of all. But then when you look at the situation around you in the world, you have questions with regard to the justice of God. Why are you silent, Lord? And when God in His providence brings an answer, you may also question his answer, as Habakkuk is now questioning his answer. God is going to bring the Chaldeans as the hand of his judgment against Judea. I didn't mention this last week, but when we talked a little bit about the rise of Islam and the growth of the Muslim population in the world, and the fact that in Europe, by 2015, the Muslim population in Europe could double, that's going to have a tremendous impact on Europe, and it's going to have a tremendous impact on the rest of the world. What if God, in His providence, was willing to use Muslims as the hand of His judgment against the sins of America? What if God were to do that? Now, I don't know that that's what He's up to, but God is pleased to use nations as the hand of judgment against other nations. And there's a lot of blood on American hands. All you have to do is think about the sin of abortion and the millions of babies that have been slaughtered. There's a lot of blood. And if God were to do that, I'm sure we would have questions, would we not, about God's justice. You see, this is where Habakkuk is in our text. Let's go on. Habakkuk argues that it's really not just for God to send a nation who is less righteous, that is the Babylonians, against Judea as the hand of judgment. Look, if you would, at verses 13 through 17 in chapter 1. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? You see, Habakkuk now is turning his attention to the Babylonians. Those people who are so vicious and violent. Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? You see, there's the basic argument. You're sending these pagan Babylonians against us in Judea. You're sending those against us who are less righteous. Now, you might have a question here with regard to sin itself. The Catechism does talk about the fact that some sins are more grievous than others. And the Catechism says, by reason of their several aggravations, some sins are, in fact, more grievous than others. And the proof text for that answer in the shorter catechism is the sin of Judas in betraying the Savior. That's a very grievous sin. And because of the ripple effect of that sin, how it spread and how it affected so many, it is called a more grievous sin. And we recognize the fact that some sins may be more grievous than others. But on the other hand, we often take the position, well, sin is sin. And sin is a bar that we should not pass. But we do have to remember here, I would submit to you that some sins are more grievous than others. And so Habakkuk is arguing along this line. The end of verse 13 again. Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things, without a ruler over them? That you're sending the Babylonians against us, and you're treating us like a bunch of insects that crawl around the earth and have no king, have no ruler, have no lord. Is that actually what we are? You have made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things, without a ruler over them. The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook. They're on a fishing expedition, as it were. Drag them away with their net and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. You get the picture here. Habakkuk is likening the hordes of the Babylonians coming in war, like them casting out a net over the Judean populace and dragging in the net with a great catch, and patting themselves on the back and then offering sacrifices to their net. This is their power. Go back up to verse 11 in chapter 1. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. These Babylonian hordes are finding their own strength, their own ability, their own prowess, their own intellectual abilities to be their God. They are worshipers of themselves. They are worshipers of the creature rather than the Creator. These are the same kinds of people Paul weighs in against in Romans chapter 1. They are fallen, sinful, pagan people. Why are you doing this, Lord? Is this just on your part, sending such a horde against us? Well, what does God have to say then in response? We have to go to chapter 2 now. Verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Habakkuk receives this word from God. The vision is set. The Chaldeans are coming. And they are the hand of my judgment against Judah. Their coming may tarry for a time, but they will come. Wait. Wait. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. I suppose that wasn't the most happy answer that Habakkuk might have expected to receive. I go back to Islam once again. Because these Muslims, these radical terrorists, have been pleased to target the United States. At the same time, we must understand, you must understand, and I must understand that nothing happens in this world except by the plan and the purpose of God. What is God's purpose in these things? Was 9/11 2001 a wake-up call for America? Ought it to be understood in this way? Was it a call from God saying, repent, turn to me, look to me and be saved? Now, I can't infallibly tell you that this was the case. But when you look at Habakkuk and you look at how God deals with nations, it seems to me you have to ask the question. And then you have to ask the further question, as there are enemies looming out there, and A lot of Americans are going along their merry way. And the Christian population in the United States is declining. What are we to say? Are we to call the church and are we to call the nation to awake and to pay attention and to listen to the Word of God? Many people are saying these are not only troubling times, but a time in this nation where things are changing rapidly. Is God calling us in His providence, in His providential dealings with us? Is this the case? Well, let's look at another aspect of God's answer. Look at verses 4 and 5 in our text. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. It brings to mind immediately the words of God. Pride comes before the fall. The proud one, his soul is not right within him. The proud one is the one whose strength, whose own strength and ability is his God. God forbid that we should be numbered among the proud who think in our own selves that our strength and our intellectual capabilities are really our God. Such ought not to be the case. Verse 5, furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man, so he does not stay home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. The intoxicating wine here is the power, the sense of power that the Babylonians have. And that sense of power and authority can be intoxicating. It's very troubling in the halls of government today that individuals who go to Washington are intoxicated by the power that's there. And they become consumed with themselves and their own abilities and what they can do. As for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. And what God is getting at through Habakkuk is that his soul is not right with God because he's looking at himself as the ultimate authority rather than God as the ultimate authority. But then God has a second response here. Look at verse 4 again. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. And of course, these are the words that are quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans and in Galatians, and by the writer to the Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. The righteous one shall live by faith. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. But the just shall live by faith. From whence cometh justice? You see, the proud man, the proud individual, the individual whose soul is not right with God, looks at the world and seeks justice in the world. And think about this AIG situation and the bonuses that caused a lot of controversy. And individuals are saying, it's not right for these fellows to get these big bonuses. That's just not right. It's not just. And so then the political people come along saying, that's not just. And they say, okay, we're going to target those people who get bonuses with special taxes. Is it just to use the power of the government to levy special taxes against individuals because you don't like what they have? Is that just? See, here we are in the real world on these questions of justice. And then, is it right? Is it right for some of these executives who have gotten the bonuses to be getting emails threatening their lives? We'd like to see you strung up with piano wire. Is that just? Well, you see, this is operating on the plane of the world and seeking justice in the world. That's what's happening. And as we said last week, forgetting the vertical dimension. And part of the lesson that God is giving to Habakkuk is, yes, I'm going to send the Chaldeans. But you remember this, Habakkuk, that true justice is not going to be found in the plane of this world. If you want true justice, you have to look to me, and you have to look to me alone. The just man, the righteous man, will live by faith. You have to trust God. You have to trust the God of justice. And of course, there's another side of this picture. For you and for me, that if you really want justice in this life, on the plane of this world, be careful because God is liable to give it to you. You need to trust Him that He will be just with you, and you need to trust Him through Jesus Christ. As Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God, the justice of God is revealed. In the gospel, the justice of God is revealed. And then Paul quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the righteous man shall live by faith. If you want justice, you have to look to God, because justice only comes from above. And when you trust Jesus Christ, you realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross, and He died on that cross, and He took the penalty due to you for your sins. God's justice was brought to bear on Jesus Christ for you and for me. I think Habakkuk understood that this was the case. Habakkuk understood the message from Genesis about the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent and whose heel would be bruised. And of course, that seed of the woman is Jesus Christ, who came after the time of Habakkuk. But Jesus Christ, coming after the time of Habakkuk, was the object of Habakkuk's faith. And so these words, the righteous will live by faith. And so the sum and substance of the matter, friends, is this. You cannot be assured that you will find true justice in this world. You have to understand that, and I have to understand that. You need to trust the God of justice through Jesus Christ. If you seek justice only on the plane of this world, you will be running down a blind alley and find yourself in a cul-de-sac. You won't find it. You won't see it. You have to look to Christ. You have to look to the God of justice through Jesus Christ. In the one case, you see, you will be like the Babylonians of old, whose soul is not right with God, whose appetite is like death and Sheol. And that will be your end. The grave and death and hell. But on the other hand, if you are like Habakkuk and look to the God of justice through Jesus Christ, you will have life and life eternal. This is the gospel according to Habakkuk. So, when you throw the shoe at the television set, watching the evening news, or watching the basketball tournament, remember the lesson of Habakkuk. And remember it in your heart that you're not going to see ultimate true justice in this world. True justice comes from above, from God, through Jesus Christ. And when you realize that this is the case, you can say with Habakkuk, we will live. We will live. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand your word. Help us in this matter of justice in the world. We all wrestle with it. We wrestle with it with regard to the news. We wrestle with it in our own lives. We wrestle with it on the job, in the school. And we're prone to grumble. Forgive us, Father. We're prone to grumble because we wonder, are you watching? Why are you silent? Why are you allowing these injustices to take place? Help us to be patient and to understand you will in your time bring about the judgment. But also help us to understand that we're not to seek
true justice in this world, but look to you above in heaven through Jesus Christ. That's where life is to be found. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for your people that as they struggle with this whole matter of justice and injustice, that they will look to you and understand that it is ultimately in you and through Jesus Christ that we see true justice, and that the righteous man, the just man, lives by faith in you. Bless us to this end. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.